This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Uh-oh.
Guess what?
There it is.
Guess what?
There it is.
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
All right, Leslie Frazier had his second interview yesterday. That's cool. You can sell me on Leslie Frazier. I get it. It's fine. Search continues here on Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez. Figgy Fig with you on a hump day. Whatever. You can sell me on Leslie Frazier. You can sell me on Jim Caldwell. I can lay out a resume. But what's going on today at NRG is not getting enough attention for just the ridiculousness of it. I know a lot of people threw a lot of energy in the direction of Josh McCown getting a head coaching interview late in the process. And that's fine. Although for the last 5 years, I've heard that Josh McCown is going to be a future head coach. I've heard that Josh McCown is like an extra coach in the building. Josh McCown was offered a coordinator position by the Philadelphia Eagles a year ago. Mm-hmm. So it's really not as ridiculous as what's going on today at NRG, where David Effing Coley, a 65-year-old coach, passing game coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, who, by the way, have had issues with the passing game,
specifically receivers,
is getting a second interview for the head coaching job of the Houston Texans. That, my friend, is ridiculous. That, my friend, is outlandish. And that, my friend, is a waste of time. Of all the guys that have been interviewed for coaching positions around this city, just go back, because everybody in this city has needed a coach in the three major sports the last few years.
Yeah,
the Houston Rockets interviewed Steven Silas, one of the great young minds that they ended up hiring, who I'm actually a big fan of. They interviewed Jeff Van Gundy, and they interviewed some other candidates. The Astros interviewed Jeff Banister, who'd been a manager of the year in baseball. They interviewed Dusty Baker, and they interviewed some other guys, Buck Showalter, who had some experience and had been managers. This guy is 65 years old. He's never been a coordinator. And he's not getting an interview for the first time. He's getting an interview for the second time. Mm-hmm. So if you want to throw the negative energy at Josh McCown, that's fine. But you better throw twice as much energy at this David Coley interview, because this makes no effing sense, John. This is ridiculous that this is going on a Wednesday late in the process. God bless him. I know he's a great guy. I know that he's a great guy to have in the locker room. But the fact that this guy, David Coley, is getting a second interview for the head coaching job of an NFL team at the age of 65. This might be his second interview ever for a head coaching position in the NFL, and it's happening right here in Houston. That, my friend, is absolutely ridiculous. And I saw the light when I woke up this morning and realized, you know what? Why is this not getting more attention? This is crazy.
It's funny you said that, because I was driving in, and I maybe we just get conditioned, and the Texans are winning, if that's the case, to what they're doing. Like, we're not making it as big of a deal as it is. It's so weird, because I had the same feeling driving in this morning. I'm like, why are we just kind of accepting this as the norm? I guess it's because it is the norm, but that should be infuriating to Texans fans. David Culley, a lifetime assistant. I don't know if he's ever been
mid-level assistant.
Yeah, a lifetime assistant from Appalachian State to the Baltimore Ravens. Not only that, but a lifetime nomad. I mean, he's had 14 different jobs. All of a sudden becomes the one of the leading, by definition, one of the leading candidates to become the next head coach of the Houston Texans. Why is that not more infuriating to Texans fans? And maybe it is, but I feel like we've just been kind of beaten down by the Texans' manner, you know, the way they're doing things, that we become more accepting of it. And frankly, I guess we have to be more accepting of it because that's what they're doing. You know, there is this very, very small segment of people out there that are like, well, what does it matter if they're the last ones to get, you know, a head coach if they get it right? Well, how can they get it right? Number one, if these are the last two guys standing, and number two, if the leading candidates that were available when the job came open are elsewhere and have taken other jobs. It really is. We were on the same wavelength this morning because I was like, this is just crazy. It's not just crazy, it's infuriating.
I mean, I'm driving in this morning, and I'm drinking my coffee, and I turn left on Kirby, and John McClain's on with Sean and Seth, and I'm driving in the whip, and I'm just thinking, you know, that the coaching search, there could be a coach announced the next couple days, mm-hmm. and I'm hearing John McClain say with a straight face, yeah, it looks like it's going to come
down to David Culley and Leslie Frazier.
And I'm like, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
Are you effing kidding me? That's where we're at.
Yeah.
You have Deshaun Watson as your quarterback, and you're telling me that it's coming down to David Culley and Leslie Frazier.
Right.
If you didn't want to hire Eric Bieniemy early in the process, fine. Okay? We can go through the pros and cons. But you're telling me that it's coming down to 61-year-old Leslie Frazier and 65-year-old David Culley.
Yeah.
Why is it that everyone that's in the running for this job, and we believe the top three are Jim Caldwell, Leslie Frazier, and David Culley, why are they all over the age of 60? What's going on?
Yeah.
What is going on? Figgy, hit the theme song. Seriously, just is this what Jack Easterby and guys are coming into the office listening to?
First of all, that theme song just makes you feel better. So that, thank you for that, Figgy. But secondly, we were talking about how this was the premier job. This was the number one job out there, if not number one, number two. Of all the ones available behind Jacksonville because of one person, Deshaun Watson. All evidence to the contrary. All evidence says that guys should be tripping over themselves trying to get the interview with the Houston Texans. Instead, they all looked elsewhere. All the leading candidates, from Urban Meyer even, if you want to throw him in the mix, they all would rather be somewhere else than here. And there's a reason for that.
And I also think the Texans would rather be comfortable. Because I think I've just kind of been conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the loopholes, by the way. If you listen, you are one. I think I've just been kind of conditioned to be a dumbass. Like, I mean, I really do. Because when we had Andre Ware on early in the process, Andre Ware threw out the name Marvin Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed at him. I mm-hmm. said, Andre, Marvin Lewis, are you kidding me? He was in Cincinnati for over a decade or whatever it was. He's 0-7 in the playoffs. Are you kidding me? Marvin Lewis? And we started looking at these other candidates that ended up getting hired by other teams, along with Bieniemy and along with some other guys. And I rolled my eyes at Andre. I rolled my eyes at a Houston legend who's one of the voices of the Texans. I rolled my eyes at him. Now we're sitting here talking about David Culley and Jim Caldwell, and it seems like Marvin Lewis makes more sense than he ever has.
Mm-hmm. And
I've
Frazier.
Completely ignored that. I have sat here behind a microphone for the last 2 weeks, and I've gotten worked up about a lot of things because there's a lot of stuff that works you up when it comes to the Texans, and I've completely acted like it's normal mm-hmm. that they're interviewing David, almost said the F word, David effing Culley two times to be the head coach
right.
late in the process. Okay? That's ridiculous.
If you're looking from the outside in, tell me which of these is the better, more qualified candidate. And I'm not going to say Urban Meyer. I'm not going to say even Dan Campbell or any of the other ones that are already hired. Is Marvin Lewis more qualified to be the Texans head coach than Leslie Frazier? The answer is yes.
Maybe.
I think the answer is yes.
Okay. It's very debatable.
Yeah. Is he more qualified than David Culley?
The answer
is yes.
Are you serious? Dump that.
Is he more qualified than Jim Caldwell? The answer, again, is yes. They couldn't even go there, which, again, you laughed at it when it was first suggested by our guy Andre. But this is where they are now with these three guys. It wasn't the premier job that we all thought it was. And that's because of...
Well, I don't know that we thought it was.
I thought it was either first or second. When it opened, we thought, hey, Deshaun Watson, we hadn't really heard a lot of his frustration. So we were like, okay, it's either this job or Jacksonville is the one that everybody's going to be tripping over themselves to try
to get. They're interviewing David Culley right now.
Right.
They're interviewing David F. and Culley right now.
Mm-hmm.
John, let me just lay out all the teams that David Culley's been with in his career. Hit some got high music. Because Figgy, actually, just give me a rip right now and hit some got high music. Because I'm going to need a joint to get through this show because I can't believe that this is going on. David Culley, okay? Austin Peay, 1978, running backs coach. Vanderbilt, 79-81, wide receiver coach. Middle Tennessee State, 1982, QB and running back coach. Chattanooga, 1983, wide receiver coach. Southwestern Louisiana, 85-88, QB coach. UTEP, 89-90, offensive coordinator. Texas A&M,
whoop,
wide receiver coach, 91-93. Finally gets in the NFL after 15 years with Tampa Bay, 94-95, wide receiver coach. Pittsburgh, 96-98, wide receiver coach. Philadelphia, 99-2010, wide receiver coach. He was a wide receiver coach for 11 years. 11 years. Philadelphia continues. I guess you got a promotion. Senior offensive assistant and wide receiver coach. Oh, make it 13 years wide receiver coach. Kansas City, 2013-16, assistant head coach / wide receiver coach. Buffalo, 2017-2018, QB coach. Baltimore, 2019 to present, wide receiver coach and assistant head coach. Never been a head coach, never been a coordinator, been coaching since 1978. That is 33 years, and this guy's getting a second interview for head coach of the Houston Texans. Help me.
I can't. We've talked about it. I've mentioned for a couple of days, this guy's had 14
it's
different
ridiculous,
jobs.
Ridiculous, man.
He's a nomad.
I would rather have Josh McCown as head coach now than David Culley. They've at least been talking about Josh McCown being a head coach for the last 4 years. David Culley has never been talked about as being an NFL head coach.
Right.
Josh McCown, Hugh Jackson, I was 2 feet from him in 2016 when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets used him basically as an extra assistant coach. Listen to Todd Bowles talk about him and how he helped Sam Darnold. Listen to that. Listen to what they said he did in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. Listen to Deshaun Watson talk about him. He's been offered more coordinating positions in the last 4 years than David Culley.
I probably would co-sign that. I wouldn't want him to be the head coach. I don't expect him. I don't think he's qualified to be the head coach. But I think he would be a better hire than these guys.
What's the point?
As much as I don't think he's ready or close, I think he'd be a better hire than these guys, which says something alone.
It's funny. It's really kind of funny. It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. It's just weird. This is really, really weird. And there was an update yesterday on NFL Network that I thought was interesting. Here is the update on the Houston Texans head coaching search here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610.
What the players are saying now is the same thing that you could say about Leslie Frazier then. A man with quiet confidence, a man who was really invested in his players, not just on the field, but off the field. A man that was invested in the other coaches and all the staff as well. And Leslie Frazier is a deep man of faith that guides him with all his decisions and how he approaches football in life. Although there seems to be a lot of turmoil and machinations going on there, Leslie Frazier might be the perfect person because he is a man of faith and will be able to calm the waters and bring some stability to that. So he may be the perfect person. I think wholeheartedly he believes he can go in there and fix what's wrong with the Texans.
My question is, what's wrong with the Texans and why do the waters need to be calmed? A lot of times there is a coach that needs to come in and calm the waters and calm the locker room. What are the issues in the locker room? That would be my question. Because does Leslie Frazier just come in here and eliminate those? Are they bringing Leslie Frazier in to basically put a wall between the Texans players and the front office that seems to be the core of the frustration? Because if you're really coming in there to calm the waters, the question is, why do the waters need to be calmed? Why are players ticked off? Why are players pissed off? What is the issue? The issue is still in the building, John.
Look, it's almost like when you have a leaky faucet, right? You don't just tape over the leak. Let's say it's at the nozzle there. You go to the source. What Leslie Frazier is going to do is not going to be going to the source of the problem. You know, he just said there, you know, he's going to be able to fix the issues that are infecting the Texans. No, he's not. He's going to be duct tape around, you know, and trying to fix something where the source is still going to be the problem. And the source, as we all know, is Jack Easterby. So Leslie Frazier, look, great dude. We all know that. We can acknowledge what he is. What he's not is going to be able to fix the problems here because the source is Jack Easterby.
It's the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. David Coley getting a second interview is laughable. It really is laughable. He might end up being on Leslie Frazier's staff, but the fact that this is going on right now, it should make you more angry than you've ever been this off season. But the Texans are like a liquor. They're like a bargain price liquor. Southern comfort is what the Houston Texans are. They are very comfortable right now, but comfort is not a recipe for success when it comes to hiring head coaches. The OG has done some digging, and he's got examples for you next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
As the search continues, David Coley getting his second interview. Leslie Frazier got his second yesterday. The Texans are operating from a place of comfort. This is a comfortable place for Cal McNair and Jack Easterby. There's not going to be any risks. They're not going to hire Sean McVay, despite the fact he's extremely young. Mm-hmm. They're not going to roll the dice and hire, name a coach that someone's taken a risk on. It's going
Brandon
to be very
Staley.
Safe. Yeah, it's going to be very safe. It's going to be stable. It's going to be Leslie Frazier or Jim Caldwell, it looks like right now, with where we're sitting, which is great. You guys are comfortable. Your ceiling's not very high. Awesome. You know, I like Leslie Frazier as a guy, but there's a reason nobody else interviewed him. David Coley, great guy. I would love for him to speak at youth camp or something like that, but there's a reason he hasn't been a coordinator and hasn't been a head coach before, and he's had, like, who knows how many jobs in as many years. And Jim Caldwell, I like Jim Caldwell. He's out of football right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are. It's a very comfortable situation for Cal McNair, for Jack Easterby, for Nick Caserio as we sit. And if you look at what's gone on, and I know you did some digging yesterday, OG, it's not good to operate with decisions like which head coach to hire from a comfortable place.
Look, if you were listening yesterday, and it made me think about this, so I'm gonna illustrate it for you guys. One of the biggest problems I have with the Texans and where they've landed with their coaching hires is that they're just looking for people who will agree with them, right? I think this. You're right. I think that too. Shouldn't we be more about culture than anything? Absolutely, we should be more about culture than anything. I think we should do this or that or that. And you get yes men. You get guys who look like you and sound like you. And that, to me, is a problem. And what I've compared it to is a pair of comfortable shoes. Those nice loafers I have that have the fur on the inside.
Holes.
They're just cool, man. They've been worn out. They're so, you know, they're the nice sort of safe place for me. You know, when I finish the day and I'm at home, I put on my slippers and I'm good to go. You can't do that in the NFL when you're hiring a head coach. And let me just illustrate it this way with four teams. These four teams not long ago made some risky on some levels and certainly out of their comfort zone hires. Those four teams are the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, the Tampa Bay Bucks, and the Green Bay Packers. What do those four teams have in common?
They played Sunday.
They were in the respective championship
game. They were somewhere the Texans have never been.
All four of those organizations went outside of their comfort zone. They didn't want just the status quo. They didn't want just yes men. They didn't want someone who agrees with their pseudo general manager. They didn't have it. The Texans do. But their general manager, their pseudo general manager, who is all about faith, family, and football in that order. They expanded their comfort zone, and they won because of it. Let me give you an example, and I know you know a lot of this off the top of your head, but just for our listeners' sake and just to illustrate it, I went back and looked at how these hires were received when they were made. Let's start with Andy Reid. Andy Reid was something of a risk, right? He was known as someone who had bad, you know, game management, could get you to a certain level, had some success, but was he really the guy to take you over the top? This is one quote that I'm going to read. This is from Bleacher Report's NFL writer. The hire immediately upgrades the Chiefs' street cred, something they sorely needed. Reed makes a swift and drastic improvement over Romeo Crennel, shout out to Romeo, and makes the Chiefs a much bigger threat than his predecessor ever could. But he's also the wrong man for the job. And I'm not going to get into details of that, but basically they're saying he can get you, he's good at evaluating personnel, he's good at the draft, at knowing who can come in, but he's not the right fit for the Chiefs, who were very young at that time and needed some upgrades at particular areas, and they needed a coach that they felt would be more of a younger, sort of develop the players, patient kind of guy. They went with Andy Reid instead. And how did it end up? Andy Reid, you know, ended up getting Patrick Mahomes. That all those shortcomings that he had, he's gotten over, and now he's in his has been in his third straight championship game and his second consecutive Super Bowl, and may well win two straight Super Bowls. You know why they got there? They went outside their comfort zone and got Andy Reid.
And they got a guy who would actually had some success as a head coach too. Let's put it that way.
Well, they did, but
in terms the Texans are entertaining guys who, I guess you could say Jim Caldwell's had some success, but the two guys that it seems to come down to right now, Coley and Frazier, neither one of them's had success as an NFL head coach.
All right. But again, they didn't go with a yes man with what the Chiefs normally were. Let's go to the Bucks, okay? Bruce Arians. He got there pretty well respected. Had a lot of success, but this was what was said in Sports Illustrated. Seemingly immune to politics and the typical procedures of the NFL, Arians was unconventional. We knew of his interest to return to coaching. It started like a script that develops after a few beers and ultimately vanishes in the morning. But they did it. They brought in Bruce Arians.
About as uncomfortable as a front office can be as Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
There's a reason he had to wait 20 years in the NFL and 35 years in coaching to get a job.
My main trepidation, this is the Sports Illustrated talking again, stems from his age, health problems with his previous tenure at the Cardinals, and how long can a team that needs a long-haul gutting reasonably expect immediate success with him? Well, he's in the Super Bowl. Yes, Tom Brady, but they were good before Tom Brady. I mean, he was doing some good things in Tampa anyway. So they didn't go with their yes man. They expanded their horizons. They took a risk that was widely regarded as a big risk. Sean McDermott, Buffalo Bills. A lot of people thought this was just frankly a bad hire. In fact, it was called by the New York Post, a bad hire. From 2009 to 2016, I'm reading from it, McDermott has served as a defensive coordinator with the Philadelphia Eagles, Carolina Panthers. He has plenty of experience as a coordinator and no shortage of success in that role. Despite Rosenthal added that the roster is flawed and takes a shot at Doug Whaley as being general manager. Despite his previous successes, Greg Rosenthal from NFL.com ranked McDermott as the worst coaching hire of that offseason.
Right, that was silly.
In 2017.
That was silly.
It's unfair to think to rank McDermott this low. I understand, Rosenthal wrote. But McDermott is well respected throughout the NFL. He has the fewest tangible assets and perhaps the most difficult job out there. The roster is flawed. and McDermott is not the guy for that job. Again, this is the third team that has been in a championship game. They weren't. They took that chance. They didn't want to just go with what they've known. They went and got Sean McDermott, and look at how that ended up. All right, let's go to one more. Matt LaFleur, Green Bay Packers. This was Shannon Sharp. Quote, Aaron Rodgers just chose a pushover to be his next head coach. This was Stephen A. Smith, all right? He said, the offensive coordinator chosen to coach Aaron freaking Rodgers, I've never seen anything like it. You hire this guy for the 27th ranked offense, 25th in points, the 29th ranked passing attack. This is the guy you chose. What am I missing? Deion Sanders on the NFL Network said the Packers should have looked flat out somewhere else. I want the man to get an opportunity, he said. I want him to be blessed, trust me. But are you kidding me? Tennessee's offense, which is where he came from. So I'm going to get somebody from Tennessee's offense and put him with arguably the best quarterback in the National Football League. Please, that is a problem. So what we're seeing here is guys who are doing the exact opposite of what the Texans are doing, and they took that chance, and it was rewarded.
But I would say, and 2900 on the text line brings up a good point, you can say those teams took risks, but Texans are comfortable and they're taking even bigger risks. That's the problem.
I don't think they're taking a risk in their mind. I'm talking about what they feel.
Yeah, but as far as like the coaching, the upside of the coaches, it's lower than the guys you just mentioned, even with that said.
Well, you and I say that. But I'm talking about the organization that makes the hire.
Well,
they're basically
looking
around.
That comes down to what matters to them.
Leslie Frazier agrees with me. What? Let's make him a finalist. David Culley agrees with me. Let's make him a finalist. I'm talking about from the organizational perspective, taking a chance is how you roll that dice and it comes up right.
Yeah, and I think they think that they're not taking a chance, and I think they are taking a chance because they're – I would take any of those guys you just said. It's weird, man. There's so many moving parts to what's going on to this process. We need to try to make some sense of it. So I'm gonna put you to task. This is going to be the most difficult assignment I ever give you on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Let's make sense of the man who will never go away from the Texans organization, Jack Easterby. Let's try to make sense of what's going on inside his mind. The OG plays the Jack Whisperer next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 6.
Help it make sense. Help it make sense. What in the hell is going on at NRG? We don't know what Jack Easterby does. We think that he does a lot. But I want the OG to help it make sense. Let's play a game that is sweeping the nation.
Can I?
The Easterby Whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
John Lopez is going to hear from Jack Easterby, and he is going to tell us what Jack Easterby is saying and what Houston Texans fans should take from the words of one of the most mysterious and maybe powerful men at NRG. Let's start with Jack Easterby talking about a competitive advantage he felt the Texans had going into a 2020 season in which they finished 4-12.
Leaders are leaders by actions, right? Mm-hmm. How you act, right? You can, you know, put somebody a C on their chest, or you can, you know, celebrate them in the media or publicly, but it's really about how they act day to day. And so I think what we've seen in camp so far, and I think Texans fans should be very excited about, is we've had some very intentional actions done by players to invest in each other, leaving notes for other guys. We have guys starting chats and texting each other. Mm. We got guys sharing veteran experience, saying, hey, man, last year when we played here, we saw this. Yeah. Or, hey, they might give you this look, but it doesn't really look like that. And so the quicker that we can use the veteran wisdom that we have and try to, you know, disseminate that information to the other guys, I think it's going to be a hopefully a competitive advantage for us.
All right.
Help me.
So the question, here's what we got to do. Let's remember the questions.
The question was the competitive advantage the Texans have.
His answer was, after you take out all the gobbledygook, all the little catchphrases and keywords, was this. What's our competitive advantage? Our players talk and text. That's what he said.
Okay.
Our competitive advantage, more than anybody else in the NFL, our players talk with each other and text with each other.
And tell people what they tell other guys what they see on film.
Yeah, that never happens. That never happens
anywhere.
There you
go. Hey, don't kill the messenger. John Lopez is just trying to make sense.
What's the competitive advantage? Our guys talk.
One of the worst times of the year in H-Town. There's a lot of great things about Houston, one of the best cities in the U.S. But one of the worst things is hurricane season.
Yep.
When the Texans were preparing to scrimmage this year, there was talks that there could be a hurricane coming. I think it was Hurricane Laura.
Yeah.
Jack Easterby was asked about how you prepare for potential bad weather when you need to scrimmage. So keep in mind, the question from John Harris and Mark Vandermeer was, how do you prepare for a situation like a hurricane when you have a scrimmage scheduled?
Yeah, well, let me first start by saying training camp's a little different this year without fans. You know, we really miss the fans coming out here and hearing people yelling and screaming for their Texans and being excited for training camp. It's a rite of passage. Astros are playing baseball, Rockets in the playoffs, and then a chance for training camp to go really well with excitement. Yeah, I think in all these situations, we've been blessed with really good people here in Houston where we rally up. You know, we've been doing a little different type meetings with our emergency crisis teams relative to Zoom and getting on there and jumping on there with plans, things that could potentially help us stay safe in this type of a situation. We did that with COVID, so we've got a little bit of practice with how we should handle these things. And we've been talking every night about what we should do if Laura comes this way, and definitely praying for all those who will be affected by this, and hoping it misses us, but we're taking it very seriously, and we're prepared for lots of different things that could happen. So really the goal is just to always live track, you know, what's going on, whether it's weather or it's something else, and then also to have plans on a bunch of different directions. So we've got that done.
All right, Easterby Whisper, help me out.
So the question, again, the question is,
how do you prepare for a hurricane knowing that you have a scrimmage?
How are you preparing with Hurricane Laura bearing down? How about those Rockets? That's the answer. He said, how are you preparing for Hurricane Laura? How about those Rockets? Oh, and don't forget, the key is have a plan. Okay, can you elaborate? Have a plan.
It could be as easy as if the hurricane comes, we're going to have to move the practice, the scrimmage to later.
Like, how about those Rockets? Dude, this is a joke. Well, we talk a lot about all our, to be fair, he said, we talk a lot about this stuff.
Okay.
Have a plan. Okay.
Just answer that. I mean, that's an easy question to answer directly. All right, Deshaun Watson got a deal done. Jack Easterby was the first voice you heard. He was apparently the man that negotiated the deal.
Funny that that happened when he got signed.
Yeah, haven't heard from him really very much since. But here is Jack Easterby. And again, the question is from Aaron Wilson, very easy. What was the key to getting your franchise quarterback signed? Easterby Whisper John Lopez will translate what Jack said after you hear from him.
Let me just speak generally before we get into those types of specifics and say this really comes down to two awesome families. It starts with a family in the McNairs who had a vision to get this team back to Houston and give Houston something to celebrate the game of football, faith family football that really had a vision to entertain this city through great football. And then an awesome family in Gainesville, Georgia, who celebrated athletics as a way to have camaraderie amongst their family and a way to have fun together in their community, and then a way to celebrate Friday nights in the small town of Gainesville. And those two families met through the draft, and then as they met and began to work together over the past several years, it culminated in a moment like this. So I think we just really need to celebrate those two families and what those families did to get to this moment.
All right, Easterby Whisper, what was the key to getting the Watson deal done?
Football is cool. Football is fun. You know what's even more fun? Faith, family, and football. Oh, and high school football is cool too. So, but what's the key? Well, it's a story of two families. What was the key to getting him signed? Isn't football cool? Football's fun.
Here's more from Jack
Easterby.
You're
getting me riled up.
The Easterby whisper continues. I think this is important. We got to get a grasp of what's going on there. Building a roster. This was before the 2020 season. Jack Easterby, who had a hand in building that roster, a significant hand in building that roster that went 4-12 with no cap space, with a lack of talent. Mm-hmm. Here was Jack Easterby on the key to building a roster.
First thing I think you've seen is we've been blessed to invest in some great people. You know, and I think when you invest in great people, they produce, they're loyal, they care for not only the people in the locker room, but they care for the coaching staff, they care for the community. And I think what that does is creates a domino effect. When other people enter the locker room, it creates a unity and excitement and a culture that people want to be a part of. We'll add one by one people that fit that culture and can celebrate together what we're doing.
The key to building a roster, Jack Whisper.
You want the short version? The short version is be like me. It goes back to the last segment. This was probably the most revealing answer we've heard so far, even though it was more gobbledygook and more dumb phrases and we're blessed and we serve and we like our culture. But he did say that we want to get loyalty. Loyalty to who, Jack? Loyalty to who? How about unity and culture? People that fit that culture. This was actually, he said what is going on and we didn't see it coming. Be like me. Do what I say.
Here's more from Jack Easterby in the Jack Whisper, the OG. The salary cap situation.
Oh, Lord.
The contracts Easterby has negotiated have been suspect at best. It handcuffs you in 2021. After that, you might be able to get out of it. But here is Jack Easterby talking about, and again, the question is, what is the strategy you've taken when setting up these contracts and giving yourself maybe some space, et cetera?
Overall, I would say just from the cap and the structure where we are, I think we're very happy with the moves we've made to get to this point. I think mm-hmm. it took some other things to get to where we are now, but we're very happy with that. And then we're happy pressing forward. We're very prepared for what could happen in the future with having some space still left, but also knowing that every action that we have can't stand alone. It has to go with the other dominoes of other decisions.
I screwed this up. That's what he's saying. I screwed this up. And the way I'm going to explain it to you is by saying that the exact opposite of that. We're very happy with where we are. You were in salary cap hell.
At least for a year, yeah.
At least for a year.
Because of the contracts that you gave, you negotiated.
Yes, we're prepared for what could happen. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Look at the salary cap right now.
That was one of the worst things he did was negotiate contracts.
We talk about how Jack Easterby has played such a big role in kind of disassembling this franchise, destroying this franchise. That was more than anything else the problem.
The contracts that he negotiated, and who knows if he did the merciless or not. I know Chris Olsen was gone shortly after, but the contracts he has laid out have handcuffed you significantly in 2021.
I screwed up. But I'm going to tell you I didn't.
Here's Jack Easterby on the advantage of bringing in veterans instead of rookies. Trading second-round pick for Brandon Cook, signing Randall Cobb, signing Eric Murray, all those types of moves. Here is Jack Easterby talking about the advantage of having veterans before 2020. Keep in mind, they went 4-12 that season. Take it away, Jack.
Here's what I would say. I would say your attitude will be a competitive advantage. How we handle testing, how we handle longer days, how we handle not seeing each other as much, not being able to meet face to face. I think our attitude and how we our outlook on life and outlook on sports and outlook on relationships will be a competitive advantage this year for all sports and really all business and all of life. And we've just been texting and talking through it because I don't think necessarily there's one moment where you ever figure it all out. I think it's about just stay at the table, support, encourage, love, tell the truth, because in some ways it can be a raw environment for all of us, you know, me particularly, as I try to lead and serve this group.
Lead and serve this group.
That's how the veterans are.
That's a
help.
Quote. Lead and serve this group. Yeah. So there he is right there saying lead and serve this group. He straight up said that. He didn't say serve. That's right there him saying lead. Lead, lead, lead is what he said. Leader.
Yeah.
Of a 4-12 team.
How are the veterans going to help? We got a great attitude. We turn those frowns upside down. That's how that's going to help. It's immune to it all, just numb to the nonsense that comes out of his mouth. Complete. And here's the other part of it. And this is, if we can go through all these with one kind of takeaway, if you don't know what the hell you're talking about, you deflect and you start talking about something else. He talked about anything but these six questions that you brought up. He just doesn't know what he's talking about, so he just brings up another subject.
Which makes the most sense of anything that we've talked about, honestly.
He's in over his head.
Number seven. Here is Jack Easterby talking about the factors that go into evaluating all the decisions that need to be made to build a roster.
So the factors are really aplenty. I mean, there's so many factors that I would be remiss probably to start listing them because there's so many. As far as the actual breakdown of how we're going to do it, we're really going to lean on our entire football performance staff together. Bill has done a great job unifying both the scouts and the coaches together. So they're meeting together. They're watching tape together. They're talking this out together, which is really cool because I think that allows evaluations to be unified and both internal and external evaluations. So I like what we're doing so far, but man, there are a lot of factors. That's a great question. And I would imagine that as we go through, we'll learn those factors and try to list them, you know, and mitigate any exposure we may have to missing, you know, maybe an evaluation or two with things we can't control.
All right. So what are the factors in building a roster? Oh man, there's a lot of them. There are a lot of factors. I can't tell you there, but there's a lot of things. I mean, we got factors coming out the kazoo, man. And it's going to be so awesome when we use those factors and build a roster. But we have a lot of them. There are factors everywhere.
Here's Jack Easterby on leadership. Final quote from the Easterby Whisperer exercise, courtesy of the OG.
You know, I think if you study what a person does with their gifts, you will be revealed what they will do with their treasures. So if you study how a person carefully uses and hones and works on their gifts, then when they're given more treasure, more responsibility, they'll probably get that same result.
This is, of all the nonsensical, non-relevant Jack Easterby comments that we have heard, and we have not heard a lot because he's in hiding, this is my favorite one. If you study what a person does with his gifts, you will be revealed what they do with their treasures. That's a non sequitur. That doesn't make any sense. If you study what they do with their gifts, you will be revealed what they do with their treasures. This is straight from the pulpit. This is like, it sounds really cool. And people who are gullible are going to sit in the audience and nod their head. Yeah, I want to study my gifts and I want to be revealed what my treasures are. Doesn't make any sense at all. None.
The Easterby Whisper with the OG. As the search continues here on Sports Radio 610, the most ridiculous interview the Texans have conducted during the process is going on right now. And it's easy to talk about Jack Easterby and Cal McNair, but how much blame does Deshaun Watson deserve for the state of the franchise? Maybe a little more than he's getting next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.